Let's pray. Thank you, Pastor. Father, I thank you for the anointed living word. You said in the book of John 6:63 that the word that you speak, there's spirit and the life. Thank you for the life that is in your word. I thank you, Father, that you have anointed me to teach it and to preach it. And I thank you, Lord, that you have anointed all our ears and our hearts to receive it. And the people of God say, amen, amen and amen. For me, it's always a struggle to come and preach here, you know, because I'm a product, you know, of what the leadership in this church has, you know, has done all these years. I'm one of those products. And as I was standing there, like I'm in many churches, every time I go to preach, it seems like this is the first time. I can never come to the point that I say, well, I have this packed down. I know how to do this. I always have to depend on the Spirit. It's like I want to die, you know. Yeah. I told Siri, I'm getting cold. I think I'm dying. I'm telling my soul that he's trying to figure out things, you know, that you want to say. I said, shut up. You know, this is not about you. It's about what the Lord has to say. Say that. Let's go to the Word of God. In the book of 1 Peter 2:9, I always had to trust the Spirit. I cannot trust my own intellect or anything to be able to do this. I learned this from you guys. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there are many other things that the Lord said about, you know, about us, not only about the Jewish people, because if you read Romans chapter 2, it tells us that the true Jew is the one that is in the heart, because circumcision is not in the flesh, but in the spirit, in the heart. And as much as the Lord tells us all those things, some of us seems to not to be able to focus, you know, to bring into picture our identity. Sometimes if we don't see something in a camera, we try to adjust that focus, you know, that bring it into full view. Or when we cannot hear some sound clearly, we try to adjust to get the right wavelength to be able to listen to it. Amen. And with our life, it so happened the same way. I've seen, you know, when we try to find our lives into focus or to define ourselves, we usually tend to surround with things so that people will see, you know, who we are. When we are young, we put posters in our rooms, you know, and do all the things. And we try to, anyone that comes into that room, he says, this is who we are. We don't have to say much. You know, I'm cool. Yeah. And sometimes in the nowadays, people put stickers in their cars and different things. And bringing closer to home, they even, you know, nothing against tattoo, but people put tattoos in their own flesh, you know. They put their stickers now in their own flesh, or they put things in their body so that, you know, they identify with themselves with that, you know. I remember somebody told a story, I read it somewhere, that this person goes to the bank and the bank asks him, can you identify yourself? And the person pulls out a mirror and look at himself in the mirror and say, yeah, it's me. But listen, sometimes we wish, you know, sometimes we wish that we can have a mirror that we can say, mirror, mirror in the wall, you know. But the truth of the matter is this, that many of us don't have a whole mirror to look into. Mm-hmm. Some of us have a shattered mirror. And even though a whole person is reflected in there, is so broken down that we're not able to see ourselves clearly. And it becomes so hard to put our life back together. Taking it in a lighter way, it's, you know, some people say a broken mirror is bad luck, because if you try to put, you know, your makeup in a broken mirror, you once you come out of there, you look like a clown, you know. And some people are like that. You know, the way they look into their life is so shattered that they look like clowns, that they don't even know it. It's hard for them to believe when somebody is telling the truth, because they cannot, you know, handle it. Amen. In the scripture, we find people that have the same situation that many of us had in their life. that as much as the Lord tells us constantly, you know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means this, that we are found innocent. We've been, you know, being acquitted, you know, in the higher court of heaven, and we are accepted in the beloved. And for some reason, still, as much as we hear it, we don't seem to come to grips with it, you know, to be able to, wherever we go, have the boldness of character, you know, that we can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And nothing that anybody could say is going to shatter that image that have been constructed in my spirit by the right means. Because many a time there are people, the people that are beautiful, and yet they want to have surgery to fix something that is not broken. Because somebody put a standard of beauty or a standard of education or whatever it is that is not there. And I think one of the hardest things for us as human beings is to be happy with ourselves. It is very hard because we look in the mirror and we find fault in different things. Especially if we look in the mirror of the flesh. Flesh begins to talk to you into doing things that you in your rational mind would never accept. And a lot of people, you know, when they come to their senses, either they commit a crime or do some kind of a surgery or buy a car or buy a house or whatever it is, you know, try to fill their life with that stuff. And when they get that, they found that boy is so big that, you know, there's no a house big enough to fill it. And there is not a luxury car expensive enough with all the gadgets and everything good enough to be able to fill it. And then depression sets in. Because those things don't give joy. Can I hear an amen? You know, I'm speaking for myself as a human being, of course. You know, I walk in the same kind of flesh that we inherited from Adam like you. But we see these other people that, you know, that I was sharing with Pastor about this series called Hoarders. How many of you have seen that? And these people can live in the midst of piles of garbage, things that they buy because they're on sale, whatever it is, and in feces of rats and all kinds of things. And yet they think nothing about, you know, their condition. They think it's normal. And somebody has to bring the new normal to them. Because the reality, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that the God of this world had blinded the mind of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Well, if the light of the gospel is not shining unto them, then what is shining unto them? You know, we're speaking about an eclipse. You know, the we do the same thing. We try to hide the sun with a finger. Yeah. And we make a live eclipse to the Son of God, you know, so that we are not able to see. We do it because we've been taught that way by the God of this world, not because we want to.
Right.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want, you know, I hear some people about when they watch this scene, you know, experience it. I was outside my house and my wife, it's an eerie feeling. In ancient times, people got scared. Because I tell you, it brings a sense of reality somehow. There's something greater than us. There's someone bigger than us. And yet they don't get it. Why? Because somebody has put a different kind of, you know, image or definition in them. Oh, it's cool. Let's travel over there to see this. And they're not able to see the big picture. Mm-hmm. Take, for example, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. So much garbage was put in him that he thought that David wanted to kill him. And all David had in mind was to bless the son of his best friend. And yet, modern culture, when they read the Bible, look at this. When they read the Bible, they said that Jonathan and David, they were homosexuals because, you know, they love each other with their whole soul. Did you know that we can love each other that way? And obey Paul, like he says, you know, to greet each other with an holy kiss and all these things has nothing weird like the world understand, you know, the relationship between a man and a man.
Right.
Can I hear an amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. So well, let's look at some of the scripture here. I'm going to show you something by what the Lord, you know, gave me to give to you this morning. In the book of 1 Samuel, we find the story of Elkanah, which is the husband of Hannah. And Elkanah had two wives, and one of them was Hannah. and she couldn't have children. And you know the story. And she goes to the synagogue, she goes to the temple to pray. And while she is praying, she was so burdened with this overtaken by prayer that the priest saw her lips moving, but he couldn't hear what she was saying. So he thought that she was, you know, drunk. But she explained to him what happened to her. She felt, how did she feel? She felt incomplete because her society demanded that for a woman to be complete, she must have children. Children was an asset. Amen. And a woman was, it seems like she had no purpose. She had no identity. She had no definition unless she had a child. And she was so desperate to feel complete that she made a deal with the Lord. That if the Lord will give her the child, she will give the child back to him. Mm-hmm. Well, Eli agrees, and somehow, you know, because he was as blinded as a bad spiritual, but somehow he said, the Lord grant you the desires of your heart, so to speak. And she had a child. And she, as she promised, she gave the child to the Lord. But when she received the child, she finally understood something. That her completeness was not in the child that she received, was in the God that was able to fulfill the promise. That's when she found her completeness, her identity. Because let me tell you, if she was so desperate to keep the child, you know, to have a children, she would have kept it. But she chose to give the child so that she can keep that which was most treasured, and that was the relationship that she had with the Lord. Look what he said in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. And you can read the rest of the thing. Yeah. How she rejoices in the very thing that she thought, you know, that had cursed her somehow. She was cursed by this God. And she found that in this God, he was the closest friend that she could have. Because this is the God that answers prayer. Amen. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. Yeah. Amen. So I believe 20 childs couldn't fill her life. But one God fills all in all.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Amen. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, there's another story in the book of Genesis chapter 35. And that is the story of Joseph. And Joseph have a very interesting life because he is one of the children of the old age of Isaac, Israel. And he had Benjamin. But Joseph, as the scriptures say, he was a dreamer of dreams. As a matter of fact, he was mocked by his brother because here comes the master of dreams. He is the one, the dreamer boy, so to speak. You know? So they really, the Bible says, they couldn't speak to him peaceably. Let me find the scripture here so I can really, can you give me some water, please? I told Cedric, when I point to you, give me water because my mouth gets really dry. Thank you. You see how I shake? But that's my flesh, not my spirit. I'm doing right. I'm doing okay. Chapter 37, I should say. So the scripture says, let me find the scripture here, if I find it right. Praise be to God. Let me keep explaining. They couldn't speak to him peaceably, the scripture says. Meaning that every time he showed up, they were mad at him. I mean, they just draw a fit. Here in verse 4 of chapter 37 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." You know, there are people that are so messed up in their soul, in their personality, that wherever they go, they give you, what is in them. They give you trouble. They cannot bring you peace. You wish they never knock on the door. There are relatives like that for some of us, that they come and you wish that they show up on Thanksgiving Day. Because all they bring, but the reality of this is this, listen to me, is that people cannot give you what is not in them.
That's right.
In Matthew 12 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever they're full of, that's what they're going to give to you.
Yeah.
That's why we that supposed to have the light and have more control, over our temperament or whatever, that we should put on, be a little more patient and long suffering with them, because truly they don't know in the prison that they are. Amen.
Amen.
I oftentimes tell, and Cedric is one of my helpers. He's been helping me in the ministry for about 5 or 6 years. I don't know. I use the example, when life comes to squeeze you like a rubber ducky, and it will, what is in you is going to come out of you.
Absolutely. Yep.
You can only fake it for a certain amount with a certain amount of people, but eventually it will come out of you.
Oh, yeah.
And you can say, "Oh, I didn't mean that." No, you didn't mean to be cut. That's another story. You didn't mean to be cut. That's amen. But it comes out of you. When you have peace, wherever you go, you have peace.
Yep.
It used to bother me to wait in the airports and everything. I was telling John Duclos that my wife booked the wrong day for me. I went to the airport. It was the next day my flight. And here I am. I didn't get my say, "Oh, it's okay, I'll go home." Yeah, I get there right on time. I did twice. So the next day, the lady in the parking said, "Oh, you made it today again." "Yes, I made it again today." But when you, and I've been in long lines and waiting and everything, because I found out a principle that when the Lord wants to take me someplace, I'll always be in time if I'm willing to go.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to drag, when we travel, he doesn't have to drag us out of the house, pull us out and make us do something. No, I'm willing to go. So I know I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Another thing that I know is the plane is not going down.
Amen.
I know that too.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Bible said, without vision, people perish without knowledge. Without a prophetic utterance,
yes,
people perish. I know perish because I got something to hold on to.
Amen.
I know that. Sometimes I say that in airplane. When the plane starts to shake up and the food ends up in the ceiling of the airplane, you better hold on to something. And you better don't be your seat. You have to hold on to Christ. Because if all you have to hold on is your seat, you're in trouble. So here comes this dreamer, amen? And he tells his brothers that, about this dream, about the sheep bowing down to him. And they get mad at him and say, "You think we're going to bow down to you?" Puerto Rican translation. And he tells the same dream to his parents. He said, the sun and the moon, they're going to bow. But the difference was that the scripture says, Isaac pondered that in his heart. Why? Maybe this boy is listening to the Lord. Maybe the Lord is speaking to him. See the big difference?
Yeah.
When God speaks to people, I learned something, that not to be envious of other people that have gifts.
Right. Yeah.
Because the Bible says we're all members in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If we were all a pile of ears, where would the, other members of the body be? So we have to be satisfied, mm-hmm, in the place that the Lord has placed us.
Yeah.
Amen. But then again, speaking about identity and being defined, when we are defined by what others do, I remember people coming here trying to find their identity because they were ministers and they were just looking for a position that God was not given to them, a position that they were looking for. Did you know I found myself in the pulpit not looking for the pulpit? I found my place in the pulpit going after Christ. Because we think everything is about us. And when we get involved with Him, I tell people this, Isaiah chapter 6, when you get involved with God and you are in His presence truly, somebody's going to change. I guarantee you by the word of the Lord, it ain't going to be Him. Either you change or you get mad, but something's going to happen to you. You're not going to stay the same. Well, you say, here I am, Lord, send me.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Now, this happens to him. They get so upset with him that they want to kill him. Take the coat of many colors. You know the story. And Reuben kind of prevented them, you know, from doing this thing to their own brother. So they decided to throw him in a pit and to sell him. They sell him as a slave to some Egyptian master. And there, you know the story. He's accused of what? He's accused of committing, tried to violate the wife of Potiphar. And he told that woman, hey, your husband has entrusted me with everything. There's nothing that he withhold from me except you.
Yeah.
And you are the thing I'm going to touch.
Right.
Amen. But still, you know, he believed her. He was sent to prison. And they're in prison. You know the story about the butler and the baker. You know, he interpreted the dreams, and the baker was going to lose his head, but the butler was going to be to the king's house. And he said, remember me.
Yeah.
And like some people, they make promises.
Right.
You know, they make promises. Yeah, I'll remember you. But if I see you, I don't know who you are. That's the point. You know, it's like I remember years ago, I told Pastor Jen, I said, Pastor, I love you. But I have many people saying, I love you. And in Christian circles, you know, Christian community, it's easy to say, I love you, brother. But I told Pastor, say, I love you, but time will tell. Because time is the best litmus test of our promises.
Yes.
You know, a litmus test is a piece of paper you put in some fluid and something to know if it's acid or salty.
Right.
So time is the litmus test whether I love you or not, Pastor.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's right.
I'm still here. So he is, and this young man, he could have grown bitter. And yet, yeah. The scripture doesn't say anything. So here one day the king, the Pharaoh has a dream. He's pulled out of prison, interpret the dreams, you know. And there's a famine in the land. Isaac sent their sons, you know, to Egypt to find some food and everything. And there is Joseph. And Joseph recognizes his brothers. And he begins to play, you know, some kind of a love games, I will call them, because they're not vengeance games, you know. He's craving to see his little brother Benjamin. Why? Because they are of the same mother,
right?
And he just wants to see his. But he loves the others. And he eventually revealed himself to them, and they were afraid, because you can imagine you sell your own brother, and now he is the prime minister. In one day, God made him prime minister. One day he's in prison, accused of this horrible crime, and the next day he is just the prime minister of the land, and he's in charge of everything in the land. He makes decision for the king, for the president.
Yep.
Can you imagine that? So they probably were, you know, they had to use something to contain the thing. But when he, in chapter 47, somewhere around there, when they thought that he was, because they got scared, he got a picture. He gives them a picture of what happened to him in the meantime, and it is this, that he was, the scripture doesn't say it this way, but he was comforted somehow. How? By the word that the Lord has given him many years before.
Right.
That one day this was going to happen to him. Eh? And he was brought to that place in which he's beginning to see everything into focus, what the Lord is doing. Now his brothers are what? They are bowing down to him.
Yep.
Amen. And eventually his father is coming also. His little brother comes also. When he sent his brother, he commands to put more of the riches, you know, into his donkey, whatever it was, you know, the bags that they were carrying.
Right.
I know I mean my place in the scripture, but I don't want to lose my line of what I'm saying to you. You can look it up. But the thing is, he tells them, you think you did this to me. But it was God that sent me before you to save a people. Amen. I cannot find it, but I you get what I'm saying. So he understood the plan of God for his life, because God has already revealed to him what laid ahead, not only for him, but for his people. It seems like he understood in every time life would squish him into a corner, he began to understand the purpose of God in that place. Because let me tell you, when somebody sends you to prison, when your own family discard you and ostracize you, most of us would not be as happy as he was to see his family. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, what you are, if it was my Puerto Rican Latin blood, I would be looking for vengeance. I mean, I've been looking for blood running someplace. I will have a heyday just waiting, you know, what I'm going to do to them. I'm going to skin them, you know, alive, to get revenge. But you see, he found refuge. He found his identity. He brought his life into focus, not because of all the bad things that life brought to him, not of the broken, you know, ways that life had brought to him, but because he found his life centralized in the center of God's will. It's a different story. When your life, you know, When your life is the center of all these people that have are around you, to for you to be able to bring them, you know, the word of life, the word of healing, the word of hope, the word of encouragement. Because you can agree with me that his life couldn't be more shattered than what it was. And some people define their life, but all these problems and these bad things that happen to them, and wherever they go, they define themselves, you know, through that horrible thing that happened to them. Whether they be in war, whether they have suffered an accident and they have lost a limb, or whether they, you know, have some emotional trauma, that traumatic event, that injury in the soul, is what defines their life. The walk, and they can only speak about the next visit to the VA and all the things about the government, and everything that they bring is just focused on that trauma or that circumstance that has defined the rest of their life, and somehow they cannot disattach themselves from that thing. That's why Christ has to come and sever us from the nature that has us attached to that wrong image that has really, you know, opaque everything that he is and has been in this life. Not easy, but it is possible. The Lord didn't promise that everything was going to be easy, but he says, I have overcome the world. You see, so he has given us a pattern of behavior, a pattern to follow after, that we should be conformed into that image. Amen. Which is the image that bring our life into focus and bring the reality of our identity back to where it belongs, and that is to him. Yeah. Amen. Now, in the book of Ruth, and that's behind the book of Samuel. I'm gonna tell the story. See, I'm not gonna go there because I'm not finding the page, but I'm gonna tell you the story. Here is Naomi with his two daughters-in-law, and she is in the land of Moab. Her husband died. Her children die. And now she finds herself with her two daughters-in-law, where she has nobody. So she tells his two daughters-in-law, no granddaughter, daughters-in-law, go back to your country. And go, and she says something else, and go back to your gods. But Ruth refuses. And she tell Hannah, she tell Naomi that wherever she go, she will go. In verse 16 it says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, here's something very interesting. Because here is Ruth telling her mother-in-law, I'm not going back there. I'm going to stay with you. Because somehow, Naomi has forgotten what she put in this little girl. To trust in the living God. And somehow, Ruth clung to this God, to the hope of this God, and said, no, wherever you go, and go. Did you know that the people of God were promised with blessing? Coming upon them and following them. And yet Naomi is in a state that she's not able to see anything. Because the only thing that she sees is the tragedy that she had lost two sons and a husband. And she's not able to see the one that had given great, well, the New Testament says exceeding precious promises, great and precious promises whereby we can escape the corruption that is in the world. Those promises were given to them. Can you imagine? They were like, I'm a modern preacher, I hope, you know. In the book of Marvel, they had this guy Magneto that it's like a magnet, and everything that is metal, he can control. Well, let me tell you, the people of God, they somehow, you know, by the blessing of God, blessings will come upon them and follow them. You can feel all the noise of all the blessings, you know, that would come if they would only trust and believe and obey their God. Because they were not required as we are required to do. They were only required to obey these commandments. Yeah. You know, we are required a little bit more because we might be entrusted, you know, more. Because we have the investment of God Himself in our hearts. We need to be clear about that. So here she is telling him, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your God where you die. So she goes with her and finds great favor. And she is redeemed, you know, she is redeemed by Boaz. And you can read the story. I don't have time to go there. But at the end of the story, Naomi herself begins to praise the Lord. She begins to understand that what gave her the identity and the person that would bring to focus who she was not having a husband, was not having two children that she lost, was to have the God that made the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you know that the Bible says that we are the children of the prophets? We are the offsprings of the prophet. Why? Because we are the children of their faith. Faith has brought us here. Like a baton in a relay run was passed from one generation to the other, until here we are with the promise of the Spirit. And we're not talking just only about the indwelling Spirit. I'm talking about the new birth. Because one cannot be without the other. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we see how Naomi and Ruth, both of their lives were destroyed by the concept that having children, that having, husband, whatever, you know, and not only that, you know, the income that they will come, because they really, you know, they brought the stability to the home and the status in the family. And now they have no one. But can I remind me the story of another woman, which is Rahab? Sometimes I wonder why the Lord kept that in the scripture, Rahab the harlot.
Yeah.
You know? I think it makes a statement of how God is and His nature and how He approaches is different. He said, man looks after the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look into the heart. And here, Ruth, just like Rahab, they were not supposed to, you know, inherit anything because they're not Jews, you know, and they forgot the big picture that was the blessing that was given to Abraham, that I bless you to be a blessing, and indeed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and that means that we will be engrafted into this tree called Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Because it is not by works, it is by faith. You know, everybody in the Old Testament and New Testament, it is not by works, but it is by grace through faith. Isn't that something? But we cannot define our life by the things that we possess or we don't have. Sometimes we're trying to define, like in the Asian culture, and it's not a bad thing to decide that your children have a, you know, have a great, good education. But one of my translators saying from English to Chinese, she Harvard graduate. Graduated from Harvard. And her husband, my friend, Dr. Shai, he taught at the university down in Texas, and he at the Central University in Taipei. And here they are translating with those all education. And for them to have that culture to have this education is to have a face you can give to others. But what is if you can give the face to others and you can give them no life? You can give them no hope. Or look, all you can do is go to the temple, lift this incense and go like this and everything and hope that something good will happen. Isn't that something? But we, you know, when I was standing there, and I'm honest with you, you know, every time I feel like I want to die because I don't know how to do this. But I know how to submit and obey and stand up and open my mouth knowing that the Lord will fill it up, you know. It doesn't matter if I cannot find it. It's in me, so it will come out. You know, that's the thing. That when you put something, it will come out of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I learned that whatever I am in Him. It's not because of me. Whatever defines me is not that I'm Puerto Rican. It's not because I am, you know, I have become an American. It's not my education or the lack of it. It's because I am in Christ. He began to give purpose to my life. He began to give focus to my life to the point that even in my most desperate situations and the things that I've gone through, I still can hold on to my life and not lose the grip of my soul because I have the Word of God as an anchor for it. It doesn't matter how much it spins, how much it goes down, open up, you know, up and down. I can still hold to the promises that He had because I tell you this one thing, and I'm telling you the honest truth. Yeah, I'm not lying to you. You know, just like Joseph, every place that I've been, the Lord gave me many dreams. Every time, every place that I've been in this planet, I've been to Cuba, I've been to Taiwan, to Samoa, to China, to all these places because the Lord has given me dreams to go there. You see, so my focus is not what can I cannot do. You know, Pastor even prophesied not too long ago about this season of mine that I'm not doing anything. And when I'm not doing anything, I feel like my identity is not in focus because I find who I am standing here. Yeah. You know, the scripture says very clear. I think John said it in the scripture. He says, for this purpose, the Son of Man came into the world that He might destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
So there is the focus. You know, there is the identity. There is the reason why we live. Amen. We have to have a purpose. If we don't have a purpose for living, we become desperate. We try to fill our life with different things. We try to frame our life in a picture that is not us. And as much as my flesh hates to stand right here, my spirit rejoices because this is where I belong. For this purpose came out into the world. I didn't know that until I got involved with Him. Until I began to have this communion with Him. You know, you can read in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and 2. There's a man that we don't speak too much about him except in Christmas. And that is Joseph. Joseph evidently had a communion with God. And he had a strong intimacy with the Lord. I dare to say that by the reflection of his life, even though after a certain point, the scripture doesn't say anything more about him. But you can read in between the lines by the revelation of the Spirit that he was a man that trusted God, that believed God. That when little Mary got pregnant and he wanted to refuse her, look how honorable this man was, that he wanted to reject her in private so she wouldn't be harmed.
Right.
That how in tune with God he was. And God through dreams begin to impart to him the safekeeping of Jesus. Because let me tell you, the coming of Joseph and Mary was not by chance. God has appointed a time for the Messiah to come. And He appointed Mary and Joseph to be the parents. Because they qualified, they were fit parents for this young boy called Jesus. You can read in the book of Luke, you know, how he grew in stature and in wisdom before God and before man. He grew as a normal boy. People ask sometimes, Jesus went to the bathroom. I guarantee you, Jesus went to the bathroom, just like any of us. He was a man just like you and I. And pardon me, but he had to hold it like any one of us do when we go to the bathroom. Where I'm on a dose, I'm just telling you the truth, that this Jesus is real. And he was entrusted to real parents. This is why God, and God himself explained why he gave the promises that he gave to Abraham. Look what he says in Genesis chapter 18. He says, Genesis 18 verse 17 says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" And that was when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Because God called Abraham his friend. When you have friends, you don't hold anything.
That's right.
Amen. Now we boast that he called us friends. So it is time to get on with the program of friendship. Amen. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed." This is God telling him, surely what I have said shall come to pass. And look what it says in verse 19. "For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Right. So there was something about his character. He said he's going to teach his children. He's going to make sure that this promise that I've given to him, he's going to pass it on. Do you think that God did any different with Joseph and Mary? I guarantee you, Joseph and Mary were entrusted with Jesus because they would do the same thing with Jesus. And Jesus learned about the Father through Joseph and Mary. He didn't learn it when we went to the synagogue. Already when he went to the synagogue, he knew about his Father. I can't imagine the answer when they were looking for him. And he said, I'm about my Father's business.
Yeah.
But the thing that is not said there is this. And you told me. And you told me about my Father. So they kept silence.
Yeah.
Teach a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. This is our Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. But any other man in his place, in that culture, will make sure that she gets stoned to death. And found another woman. But he didn't. Why? Because he had his life in focus.
Yeah.
His identity was not the cultural status quo. His identity was in this person called Jehovah. And when he puts his alignment in focus with this God, he knew that everything was going to be all right. But it comes, you know, the scripture doesn't say, but you have to infer this. Mm-hmm. That this man has an intimate relationship with God, that God can come. And put in a dream, in the book of Job chapter 33, it says why God put dreams in us. Yeah. He put dreams in us so he can change the program.
Yeah.
You know, the I'm about to close. That Bible is heavy. In the book of Ephesians says that the old man is corrupt. Some, you know, in modern computer language, our files has been corrupt.
Right.
Am I? Do you like a lot of, and Sam, this thing about computer? Our files have been corrupted.
Yeah.
They're good for nothing. You cannot put anything there that would hold, you know, our identity, our character. So God has to do away with everything.
Yeah.
He has to destroy, you know, I tell many times to people, did you know that God has to kill all of us, whole humanity? He had to do it. But in his great love, where he loved us, he did that in Christ.
Yeah.
The whole world was put to death in Christ. And yet the whole world, Ephesians says, was raised together with him and was seated at the right hand of the Father so that anyone that will call upon the name of the Lord can find a seat, not in the back room, in a guest room, right there with the Father.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So this is what God had to do. And he did that through his nature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, you know, the flesh doesn't profit anything. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, that flesh and blood is not going to inherit anything. It has to go back to where it belongs. It has to go back to the dust. It is the Spirit, the one that quickened it. It is the Spirit that can give life. It is the Spirit that can resurrect. That is the Spirit that he has given us.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he says, behold, look, all things have passed away when you come to Christ. All have become new. Oh, then we need to find out.
Yeah.
What has become new?
Yeah.
Because it's for him, whatever happened in my life, he's not looking. Thank God he doesn't do background check.
Amen.
Amen. No background check. Why? Because he is not interested
right. In
that life
right. That
cannot produce anything that can give him glory.
Amen.
Amen. All that. So if I'm able to grasp, amen, this new life, and there's so much to say about this new life. And we begin to be educated by the person that he left to educate us called the Holy Spirit. Then we are going to be okay. I like Tom Davis said, we are going to be above average.
Yeah.
You know, be above water is better than to be underwater. I'm talking not about the water that can drown us, you know, the world. Because there's another water that we can be, you know, swimming in, and that is the water of the Word of God that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Stinking thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. But it is in Christ that we can find identity for our life.
Yeah.
You know, James says that if we continue looking in the right mirror,
right.
Which is, he says, he calls it the perfect law of liberty.
Right.
And that is in the Lord's presence, in his word. Amen. Because otherwise, like Pastor Jan says many a time, cold snacks Sunday morning and Wednesday is not going to do it for you. We have to eat daily, drink daily, him, his blood, his presence, so that we can live. Otherwise, a little offset can lead us into a big upset in our life.
Amen.
Why? Paul says in the book of Colossians, he says, we are the circumcision, the true circumcision, who worship God in the spirit. He says, I have no confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
No trust in relationship with
right. The
flesh. Because the mean of the flesh begins to put that old picture back into you, then you go back the old path.
Right.
Because you cannot separate what it says in Proverbs 23:7. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In his heart, so is he. If you get the old program back into you, we go back to the old ways. So we have given control. Remember you thought about the stewardship of the mind. We talk about that, you know, about having a stewardship of what we think, that we are no longer victims. We cannot go where declaring, I'm a victim of this, that's why I am who I am today. I'm a victim of this thing, and that is the picture that wherever we go, we bring, because we have become victimized.
Right.
And many people say we are victimized by God, not understanding.
Yeah.
No, we were victimized by God. We have been blessed by God. And the Bible says very clear, first of all, that he has removed all transgressions from us so that we can have access to his presence.
Yeah.
That is the first blessing. Amen. Stand up. You can look up all the things in the scripture. You know, I just get so wind up. I cannot see my Bible. But why is that? Because the scripture has to be living in your heart.
Yes.
See, I trust that part of the scripture that is living. And many times we talk about that. You know, how it's living, the things that can change us. If we trust the doctor for the medication, you know, that he can do something. I don't have to have a degree in biochemistry to understand how biochemically he can bring me wellness. So I don't have to understand the spiritual way God does something through his word. Do I just need to take it.
Right.
Trust him. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. So I pray that the Lord will give you 100-fold return in the seed of the word of God today. Not in the opinions of men, but in the Word of God.